Well, I wanted to kind of go more into that floating thing mm-hmm. for parents to be able to kind of encourage that with their children and that type of idea. And what
I think water should be encouraged in all people who want their kids to be spiritual. I think there's a huge connection. I remember my grandmother would tell me there was, and I remember it, and we had an above-ground swimming pool, and I had to been 3 or 4, I was fearless of water. I mean, I told you about the time that I should have drowned even when we lived there, but this is a different story. And I swear I had been about 4 years old, but I remember being in this above-ground pool and the whole family was in there. I remember my grandmother had the bathing suit with the little skirt thing kind of on it. It was flowery, you know, the old school stuff. And everybody was in the pool, but I remember being on the bottom, walking around, looking at everybody's legs and seeing this, like, reverse reality, but I was in the water. But it seemed so surreal to me, you know, rather than, you know, you're that small, you see people walking around in that outside in the air like that, but it seemed so unusual, and I just remember being really amused, and I think somebody eventually pulled me out of the water back up. But I remember being under, not thinking about air or breathing or any. But I always loved the water. I loved the detachment from my physical body. It felt more natural than it did when it felt weighted. And that was a whole spiritual thing. Now, does that mean you should run out and get a deprivation tank? No. I have mixed feelings of deprivation tanks, and I'm not here to say one way or the other. I'm saying there's no substitute for a good swimming pool when it comes to doing certain exercises that I teach, you know. And the reason why swimming pool is so good is because it gives you a reaction that you can observe, and that's 50%, you know, here, but it's still transparent, it's still kind of representation of energy so that you can understand or create a concept for how it works. Because in your head, in order to do something, you have to be able to understand how it works. It's just how we are. So even if it doesn't work exactly that way, it's enough in your brain to give it a concept that somehow it does it. It'll make it work. And that's what you need to do. You need to get past that governor or that barrier in your head that's struggling to create what it is when Eric says he's pushing energy or when he's doing this or that. In my mind, I see, you know, I feel it. I'm sure if it's going to happen, as sure as I know if I hit the water, it's going to make ripples a certain direction. You know, I know that if I move it in one way, it's going to fan out like a from smaller to wider, but in a direction. It's going to, like this. It's not going to make a big full circle. It's going to make a wave in a certain direction that's only going to get so many feet apart. I know that if I do a full body one, it's going to do a certain thing. I know that if I implode it and it pops back up and it creates energy. You know, I understood that from that repetition in the water and watching it. So I know how it works. And my hands move, ironically, a lot of times when I'm thinking about energy, the same way I would move water. Do you understand? When I move the energy around my body, it's because I would move it in the pool, and I would move water towards me, and I could feel it rush over the skin, and that taught me how to move the energy inside my body. So there was a very potent educational cycle. And I think when most people swim, they just swim. They enjoy it, but not me. I mean, I feel and I work with the texture of the water and the pressure, and it's so minute, but yet it tunes you because you get so used to these minute textures. Yeah. It's what taught me, I think, a lot of how to deal with weather. I mean, I think a lot of times when I deal with air and wind, it's the same thing. I can feel it like a body that I relate to like water, and I work with it in the same way. I understand it, and I can pull and move it. But there's you got to understand, when you move a body of water, this is the cool part. You can move a body of water, and you can project it across the pool. So I learned to project energy great distances because I learned that it perpetuates. There's not a limit. The only reason it was a limit is it hits the pool wall. Well, if you're moving something bigger than that skywise or energy weight, there's not a limit. You project is just how much of a burst or how much energy you put into it. Does that make sense for everybody? Yeah. Maybe two out there? Or?
I've got a question. I think that in kids, when they reach a certain age, the governor starts to kick in and their brain starts to develop really, you know, conventional tools. Is there anything that you would recommend to maybe to prolong that open-mindedness, that, you know, yeah, I can see energy kind of attitude?
Well, you know, I think it's all about environment, and I think if you start them off right, that's the main thing. I think it starts from about, you know, from zero, meaning in the womb, you know, your feeling, your vibe, your consciousness, what you're projecting in there, you know. Right up to probably about 5 to 7 years old, I think, are the most critical points. And then thereafter, you're going to see the wonderment of what that perpetual motion is. And again, I'm thinking about that water movement. It's where is it going? How big is it going to get? What's it going to touch? I think that the most that you can do then is that the brain is going to do exactly what you're saying. It's going to put in certain functions in the teenage years and all this other stuff that are necessities for integrating into our environment, our world. But you should just continue to be supportive of the creativeness and hopefully it's going to stay in a positive direction rather than what we may interpret as a darker direction.
What about promoting experiences of a metaphysical nature? When would you start to kind of...
I think you got to be really careful. You know, I mean, there's a bit of resentment that I have about being exposed to entities and spirits so young. Although I don't think of it as a bad thing in the sense that it turned out bad for me, but I think I was a unique case. I think it was very horrifying for me. And I think that's where my father made a critical mistake, and he should have been a little bit more careful as to what he exposed me to, and he should have spent more time explaining in personal training with me, which he didn't do. It was usually about him entertaining his friends and getting me to do things to appease his own interest rather than helping me to understand what I was doing. And so therefore I was left to really try to interpret and understand a lot of things on my own. And there was a lot of entities and things that I could see that were never explained to me. But the truth of the matter is that it was simply an ability far beyond him. He couldn't understand those things, you know? I don't think he fully understood even what he was dabbling with or what my true capabilities were. They're certainly far beyond who and what he is. So I don't necessarily blame him in that aspect. I just wish he would have been a little bit more careful as to, you know, the Ouija board exposure, the table wrapping, the seances, all that kind of stuff, even though I can say it was very interesting to be around it, and I fortunately was a lot more intelligent and could see it in different ways. There were still points that were very frightening to me and opened me in a medium level to sensing and feeling things that I wasn't really fully prepared to understand. So I would probably try to make my children understand that really entities don't really pose a threat. That you know, they're like dogs. That you just don't go out and pet them, but they'll generally won't bother you if you don't bother them. And the biggest thing I learned is that entities that are grumpy are a lot like dogs. Their bark is a lot worse than their bite. They make a lot of noise and put on a big show, but they're not really going to do something because they just don't have the energy to do it. You understand what I'm saying? And that most entities, the reason why they seem fearful is to simply explain, you know, the whole concept about that they're trying to talk to you because they can't talk to anybody else in the desperation. It would be, I mean, it sounds complex, but in the same token, you know, I think other things in life can be just as complex. You just got to spend the time. And I would want them to feel safe and secure, and that would be the most important thing to me, is that they have a sense of exploration and a safe zone that they could come to, that to know that it's safe. It's no different than when you send your child outside when they're toddlers. They don't necessarily go running off, although I did when I was a kid. Evidently I took off with my brother and the dog and we went down the railroad tracks and who knows where, and then we came back, my mother was like, where did you guys get these things? And we walked all the way to the store, which was like 2 miles away, and I had been like, probably again, 4 years old or something, I don't know. But, you know, there's a sense of safety as a child. You wander in your backyard, you know, the world is huge. It's filled with who knows what's out there, you know, who knows what's out in the woods. On the same token, it's a very tough answer because I also say that fear builds up sensory. And that I think that I was constantly in fear, and I think that's what built this mega system of sensory for me. I mean, I was constantly worried what was in the woods, what was going to get me. But it wasn't because it was something in the woods. I was feeling all these entities, you know? And, but I think that if I had a better mentor who directed me better and could give me better answers, I would have been a lot more calmer of an experience of awakening to who, where I am now. You know, it's hard to say the dice roll and you get what you get. And the most I could say is be patient, be compassionate, and loving to your child in these things. And I think they'll do very well. I don't think there's any simple answer, like anything else. Is that it? Are we done with these questions yet?
This concludes Navigation of Children, Part 1 of 1. Higher Balance offers a wide variety of metaphysical programs. For more details, visit us at www.higherbalance.com or reach us at 1-800-935-4007.